Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure. Like a dream come true for me. How about you? And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You can tell we're going to have some fun. We're going to try to make us all a little smarter. We're going to try to all get a little bit smarter while we're here together sharing some ideas. But also, don't forget, we got to have fun. If you can't, you know, life is too short, folks. If you can't have fun, let's just forget about it. Ted Fishman is like that. He likes to have fun. He's also a serious guy. Ted's a very nice mix of fun and seriousness. He's a journalist. He was a former trader on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. That's a pretty tough business, pretty serious business. And he's also a writer. His essays and reports have appeared in many publications. He is our China expert. He's become one of the world's China experts. His book, China Inc., has been out for a couple of years now, and we've been covering it quite a bit on this show. And the good news today, ladies and gentlemen, is that Ted just got back from having been in China another month, for a month. So we got some good news. He's brought back a travel log for us. Ted, welcome back to the show.
So glad to be with you, Jim, as always.
It's good to have you back, and it's really good to have you back from China. Now, you were just there for a month. What was it like over there?
Well, China is refusing to slow down. Business boom there is going full bore. You know, every day we read in the paper that the Chinese government is trying to slow things down, slow down the stock market, which it seemed to do a little bit yesterday, slow down the building of commercial and residential places. But when you're in China, you feel like something is being done to stoke everything, not slow it down. You know, I visited these new residential communities that are going up in and around Shanghai, and Shanghai is just getting bigger and bigger and radiating further and further out into the country. And, you know, they have bulldozed entire old communities there and are building these giant new communities of high-rises and single-home houses. 70,000 people are expected to live in one of these, and the homes range in price. And this is China now, where the per capita income is still around $1,000 on average.
Annual?
Annual for the whole country, but
wow.
You know, this area is so dynamic. Here's 70,000 homes for people. I mean, homes for 70,000 people, and they range in price from around $360,000 to $6 million. Mm. And there are other mixed-use places that we visited, land sites for 20,000 people, and the homes start at $160,000 for a box in the sky, and then townhomes for $1 million plus. And they are busy. It is a party. People are shopping for homes. What is the
population of China? 1.3 billion?
You know, I say that it's higher than that, Jim. The official census count is 1.3 billion, and of course that only counts the families that have one child, which is the official allotment of children in China. But there's so many uncounted people in China that intelligence agencies in the West estimate that there's as many as 1.6 billion in China, which means that you could add another population of the United States to the
exact
count of China.
Well, and I think you were the one who pointed out to us that the middle class in China alone, just the middle class, is the size of the population of the United States.
Yeah, well, it's getting there. It's around between 100 and 150 million. Now, middle class in China, Jim,
I was told 300,000. I mean 300 million. Somebody told me that.
I think it depends where you start the count.
Yeah.
You know, if it's people who can start to buy washing machines, it's one thing. If it's people who can start to buy cars, it's another.
Right.
I would think
for a lot of people in China, having a washing machine would be middle class.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know, the things you buy in an international price cost you something comparable to here, you know, if you're bringing in an imported item, but something made in China could give you the same products for far less money.
Right, exactly. So in general, how is the economy in China, do you think? I mean, and I know you're saying it's growing like crazy, but is it healthy growth, or is it unhealthy? What do you think?
Well, I think it's healthy in that the opportunities are spreading to a bigger and bigger group. But of course, in China, it's all about scale. So even if your group grows by 100 million, you know, there are still a high multiple of people left behind. And the big problem in China is that this terrific development is going gangbusters in the eastern part of the country, a few other places, and there are still 800 million of the world's poorest people.
Totally disenfranchised. Stand by. Ted Fishman, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He and I will be right back. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Tell me the truth if you have to. Say what you see, bit, but don't.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget you can listen to our show a number of different ways, ladies and gentlemen. We give you the ability to take possession of our interviews. That's right. You can actually download our interviews and burn them onto CDs and share them with your friends. We now have that ability, folks, and it's you can stream everything by MP3. You can download them as iTunes into your iPlayer. All that sort of thing. You can RSS. We just have at least four different ways that you can listen, and I hope you'll take advantage of that. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog while you're there as well. And don't forget to check out the brand new knowledge base that we've created just for you. It's askjim.biz, askjim.biz. It's the world's only knowledge base for small business where you can go ask a question and get an answer right now. Let me introduce you again to our good friend Ted Fishman. He's still with us. Ted C. Fishman is the author of China Inc. He's just gotten back from China. He's given us a report on how things are going over there. And, you know, Ted, the United States government and China have been going best two fowls out of three recently, haven't they?
Wait, say that again.
Well, they've been having a little bit of a wrestling match, a best two fowls out of three wrestling match between. What I've been reading is that Paulson, the Secretary of Commerce, has been going over to China trying to be the good cop, and our Congress is being the bad cop. But but I'm not sure it's working out very well.
Well, it's a complicated dynamic. I do believe good cop, bad cop is a good strategy. Of course, you have to figure out who's going to be which. I thought it was very interesting when the Chinese delegation, which came to Washington on May 23rd, got off the plane, and the first speech was business issues between the United States and China should not be politicized. And the Chinese gave a very, very strident speech warning Americans not to politicize any of these issues. And it shows a kind of fundamental disconnect. You know, you can't come to a democracy where things are decided by the people and say, you know, you can't talk about this in a political context.
What they were basically, if I understand what you're saying, what they were saying is, you know, we don't let politics, our government basically controls how the marketplace works over there, and not the people. Is that what they were saying?
Yeah, exactly. And they say, you know, don't add any emotional content to these business decisions. And you know, when political campaigns are run here, it's the economy, stupid, and there is no separation.
Right.
And what we don't do when we confront the Chinese is we don't turn around and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry, this is America. All participants in our economy participate in politics, and all political participants participate in the economy. It's
right.
It's what we do.
Right.
And
well, why didn't we do that? Did we not tell them that?
No, of course. You know, we say.
So what you're saying is the meeting didn't get off on a good foot. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it got off on a good foot. They kind of came out swinging, and you know, we, of course, have tension points. The Senate continues to have legislation that threatens to put taxes on Chinese goods that come here in order to push change in China,
intellectual property. Not, that's not good.
Well, that's the bad cop. You know, for some reason, every time push comes to shove on this legislation, they back down.
Yeah.
And so far, it's been about the most effective method we've had, which is, you know, this brinksmanship. But if we ever cross over the brink, then we might be sorry.
What are the chances that, you know, Ted, you may have heard me say this before, but I've been saying this for a long time. I have said for a long time that capitalism is the greatest danger to communism, not democracy. And I wonder, and I don't know if I'll ask you if you agree with me on that in a minute, but also, do you see any of this happening in China? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, capitalism really has changed utterly the political culture of China. It makes almost no sense to talk about communism in China anymore, except that it is the name of the ruling party.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, China has opened up the capitalist gate more than any other country in modern history.
Mm-hmm.
It redistributes income less than any country.
Wow.
It has removed virtually everything of its social safety net. The biggest casualties of market reform in China have been healthcare and education.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is they still have some of the bad stuff, but they've lost some of the good stuff of communism.
Right, and they're going to have to resurrect some sort of system to take care of people and incorporate people.
We have to be honest, folks. Communism is obviously detestable to me, but they're, just like somebody said, Mussolini kept the trains running on time. You know, there are certain things that the people did get certain benefits from communism, but it's just not a good long-term strategy for human rights or for people to grow as human beings or to operate in the 21st century world. But that's very interesting, Ted.
Well, one thing I say in the book, Jim, is that communism created these preconditions for China's success today, because it took a largely illiterate population and it made them literate. It
mm-hmm.
took a largely non-industrial population and gave them industrial skills. So when they made this structural change, they could step up into the new workplace ready to go.
Well, but from a primordial standpoint, the Chinese have always been industrious, haven't they?
Yeah, they've been primarily industrious.
I mean, long before there was communism, the Chinese were industrious. And so,
yeah,
hold on to that thought, Ted. We'll come back, folks. I want to talk about the intellectual property issue that's still boiling over there between the United States and China, and also the currency issue that's a big deal between our government and theirs. Tintel, stay with us.
One more thing.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Ted Fishman. He's the author of China, Inc. Ted, give us your website, please.
It's www.chinainc-book.com.
Chinainc-book.com. And
my email is tcfishman@gmail.com, and your listeners have sent me some nice notes in the past.
Good. tcfishman@gmail.com. I'm glad they did, because I know they're enjoying all the things that you tell us and help us with. And of course, as you know, your interviews, all the interviews you've done with us in the past, Ted, are still available on my website. They can go back and listen to the whole body of work.
You know, I've gone into a Chinese office and had them play back for me an interview they found on the web.
Really?
Which was, I thought, tremendous.
That's interesting. Well, they could certainly hear you interviewed on my site on the web. Ted, the China is the knockoff capital of the world, isn't it?
Absolutely. And one way to think of it is the Napster economy.
Go ahead.
One of the miracles of growth in the Chinese economy is that it can provide the Chinese people with instruments of wealth at very low cost. So if you're in a Chinese workplace, the software that runs your business has probably not been purchased. The machines that your business runs on could have been reverse engineered in a government laboratory or in a local business and sold at maybe 10 or 20% of the world price for a similar machine.
This is a problem in Eastern cultures, isn't it, that we don't have in Western cultures. We've had property rights for so long that when you go to a culture where the people haven't had property rights, they don't value other people's property, do they?
They value it.
But they don't.
Much.
But
right,
you see
exactly.
What I mean? They don't
fear the consequences of taking it.
Right.
I would say
there's no moral problem with taking your stuff.
Yeah, there is no moral problem. You know, we're pretty good at filching other people's intellectual property here too, but there are consequences. The problem in China is that the consequences, the legal consequences, are small. Now, sometimes the practical consequences are big because things that are borrowed are not borrowed completely, and then you have health consequences. And
right.
You saw this recently in the medicine and pet food scandals.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where things are sold as legitimate versions of one thing, but they are far from.
Mm-hmm. Somebody left out one piece of the recipe. What about
right.
So this is a big deal between our government and their government. Are we making any progress at all in the intellectual capital? And, folks, this is a big deal for small businesses. Are we making any progress in that area?
I think this is the biggest deal. You know, when I wrote the book, nobody was talking about it in the comprehensive way that I laid out in the book, and you've been very helpful in getting that message across, Jim. And I think it has, and now it's being talked at the very, very highest level.
Believe it or not, folks, this kind of a war, this intellectual property war, is more dangerous to us than a war with weapons.
It takes the jewels
potential,
of our economy.
Potential war weapon with weapons.
Yeah, exactly. It sucks the jewels out of our economy. And if we want to stay ahead by innovation, but those innovations migrate to places where they simply aren't paid for, then we can't stay ahead. And
the only way we can compete with China long term into the future is if we can protect our intellectual property. It's the only way, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, pretty soon China is going to be a pretty mighty innovator, too. You know, they've
right.
already changed the way factories work. So changing what factories make is not a big step. So what we may see first is that China works like crazy to protect its own innovations, but does not protect innovations from other places. So we really need an equal playing field in this.
And there's going to be a showdown about this one day. I mean, somebody in this country is going to get the backbone one of these days. Some president, some Congress, somebody's going to finally get the backbone. We're going to have to. It may come too late, but there will be a reckoning one day, won't there, Ted?
Oh, I think there absolutely will. You know, there's two things that happen. One is that our stuff goes to China with no cost, but there's such a threat that key technology will be stolen once it goes to China that
right.
China's policy is a huge trade barrier for American companies mm-hmm. wanting to go to China.
They're afraid to go over there because they're afraid they're getting knocked off over there.
In surveys, it is the number one reason
yeah.
American businesses, including small businesses, cite
yeah.
From keeping themselves out of the
well
Chinese
said.
Workplace.
Ted, we're going to have to talk about currency next time. You've just given us so much great information, we ran out of time. Thank you for being here. Thanks for your perspectives and your wisdom and all the things that you do for us.
Thank you, Jim. I look forward to our next talk.
Ted Fishman, ladies and gentlemen, China Inc. is the book, and he'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and as you know, this program is for you.
The Small Business Advocate.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.